shoot you, what if they show up when you're on?
Candy Berry, man. Quick this time. Oh, Tracy Rose. Justin, Cody Calvary, there's Candace. How you guys, I don't know how you guys are that quick on it. That's pretty good. I think I'll have, I'm going to have Silas play, you know, quick. So it'll be, so before I do any intro COVID stuff, there's everyone that's on, or everyone that's going to be on is actually on and watching. There's my mom again, too. All right, I'll let, Sal's going to start us off with a little mood, music, set the tone around here, and then I'll hop on.
So, yesterday, I played a song called, Thinking Out Loud by Ed Sheeran. And I learned this song today, actually, by the same guy. And it is called Lego House. So, and I just learned this today. So, yeah, this is Lego House. We can knock it down. But three words have two meanings. There's one thing on my mind, is that it was all for you. Oh, but it's dark and cold in December, but I'm not here to keep you warm. And if you're broken, I'll mend you, and I'll keep you sheltered from the storm that's raging. Oh, now I'm out of touch, I'm out of love. I'll wake you up when you're getting down. But out of all these things I've done, I think I loved you better now. I'm out of sight, I'm out of mind. I'll do it all for you in time. But out of all these things I've done, I think I loved you better now. I'm gonna paint you by numbers and color you in. If things go right, we can frame it and put it on the wall. So that the words have to mean things. Sorry about that. It was all for you. Oh, but it's dark and cold in December, but I'm out here to keep you warm. And if you're broken, I'll mend you, and I'll keep you sheltered from the storm that's raging. Oh, now I'm out of touch, I'm out of love. I'll wake you up when you're getting down. But out of all these things I've done, I think I love you better now. I'm out of sight, I'm out of mind. I'll wake you up, I'll do it all for you in time. But out of all these things I've done, I think I love you better now. It's dark and cold in December, but I'm out here to keep you warm. And if you're broken, I'll mend ya, and I'll keep you sheltered from the storm that's raging. Oh, now I'm out of touch, I'm out of love. I'll wake you up when you're getting down. But out of all these things I've done, I think I love you better now. I'm out of sight, I'm out of mind. I'll do it all for you in time. But out of all these things I've done, I think I loved you better now.
Thank you. Warmed up the craft
for you. Sorry about that little freeze halfway through it. Man, I put this thing, I did the do not disturb thing and everything, and I don't know what's going on. Good on him, man, right? Good on him. So, COVID. Let's talk COVID for a minute. You know, the problem is, with Corona and COVID and the response, and you know, orders given and things being shut down and people wearing masks, and obviously it's tough to put your finger on the result of it, right? That's the thing. So I was thinking about this today. In order to be proven right, anybody that's pushing the seriousness of COVID, to be proven right, it would have to be really, really bad. But obviously, if you're one that's pushing the seriousness of COVID, everything you do is going to be to keep it down, keep the cases down. So I know that's where a lot of the complacency is coming from. And, you know, in reality, a lot of us, you know, if suddenly we saw another dozen cases in Curry County, complacency would get nipped in the bud, right? So still, you know, trying to get people to still do the protocols, even though there's not much COVID here, or at least, you know, confirmed cases, dial cases. So it's just that's a rough one. That's a strange thing. And again, you know, I'm reminded all the time just by myself, and I'm getting a lot of comments from people, you know, reminding me about the entirety of what's going on, and it not just being about COVID. The other serious risks that we have. So I get that, and I'm reminded of it all the time. And then I know Candace had on my timeline there about, you know, about mask wearing and Candace, I don't know, you said that you saw a city truck with city employees in the pickup truck not wearing masks, which obviously, you know, they wouldn't be 6 feet apart. So I don't know. I know that Public Works, they right now they're under direction to not ride in the same vehicle, mask or no mask. So I know there's Jacobs, the company that's running wastewater. When they took over, they also got the like handful of city trucks that were out there. So I don't know, you know, if it was a city vehicle and there were city employees in there, they weren't supposed to. So, you know, I mean, if you want it, I suppose you snap a picture of it and send it to the city manager. I'm not saying that it's, you know, impossible. A couple guys, whatever, working someplace and they hop in the pickup without, you know, without following the rules to go do something real quick. So it's definitely not impossible. And I'm not questioning what you saw, but when I heard about that, my initial thing was Jacobs, because I'm sure you would have recognized the difference between a city vehicle and another just kind of public vehicle. So saw them, yeah. Yeah, and we don't have many public works employees, so I wonder if you recognized him. And I'm not asking you to necessarily call him out right here. No, really don't want to bust anyone, just heads up. Yeah, I get it. And I was I spoke about it at the end of the day with city folks, and they're the ones that, because I asked, I was like, well, what's the deal here? And city manager told me that they aren't riding in the same vehicles together, or they aren't supposed to be. So, and then I was, Candace kind of left a follow-up comment about unity, but even before that, I was still, you know, I was still chewing on that one all day because it's a good thing to talk about, you know, especially now. And Holly Beyer mentioned on a comment too about the unity at the Checo Bar fire, just how quickly it went away, you know, and that's common, right? One thing, and I don't know what to do about this one, okay? I've noticed that it's real natural and even encouraged and good to become involved to group together and let your voice be heard, right? When I've seen that happen, in my realm anyway, with city government, it usually elicits a strong response from some other group, you know. There's no sense like totally just beating around the bush, not calling anybody out on name, but just as an example. I saw a big response from people that, you know, kind of sit on the right side of things, the not correct side of things necessarily, but sit on the right side of things. And the response that they kind of had and felt, and that urgency they felt to become more involved when 97415, when the indivisible, when that happened, you know, and that's just a reality. That's a reality of it. And I mean, how could I possibly blame anybody for, for being actively involved in forming a group or an organization or something just to be able to gather together and speak in one voice. But that does elicit a response from any opposing group, and it can be really strong, you know. So unity. Yeah, unity, it's a tough one. It's a tough one. I know that a lot of there would be an easy suggestion is some kind of like the only word that's coming to mind is like affirmative action, you know, reaching out and making appointments from, you know, people representing segments that are not represented. That's an easy one that would be common. But I struggle with that one because in doing so, there's a recognizing that this is in fact a different group. And if it's really a one and a united community, it wouldn't really matter. So I don't know how to deal with that one either, because that's tough. Like I wouldn't want to just, you know, make an appointment on a board or a commission purely just because we don't, you know, there's no we don't have anyone with red hair on this committee, and so we want someone with red hair. So boom, now we got someone with red hair, and it's a unified and diverse committee. That's tough. And usually when I've looked, and you can, you know, there's some of you that would have reason not to believe this from me. Okay. So, I mean, I get that, and don't fault you for it. When I look at appointments, council appointments, that's different. But when I'm looking at appointments and getting people involved in the city, I do look for diversity. The diversity I usually look for is more of, usually falls on like the occupation lines, occupation and how long they've lived here. That's usually the diversity that I'm looking for. So I get that maybe I should be looking for some other types of diversity too. And I get that. But it's a tough one. It really is. It's easy to say, but you know, spreading unity or encouraging unity is a one decision at a time thing, you know. It's tough to try to base decisions on something other than just what I believe to be the very best decision, you know, to add things in there, to throw it in that, well, this will be good because we need one of them, you know, or one of those, or, you know, it's tough. Yeah, Holly, I get it. I'm sure I would feel, the thing is like, it's not that there aren't a bunch of Democrats around here though, Holly. I mean, I don't know. I get it. I mean, I get it. I have been in places where, I was a stark minority, and it's not, you know, it's not a comfortable feeling at all. So, unity, yeah. It's tough. Where I'm going with it, what I'm kind of trying to wrap my head around it, and how I can do better in that, understanding that people that want to be engaged are gonna come with a viewpoint, and probably with people, you know, you're gonna come as a collective, and people coming with your viewpoint. And then there will also be another group, an opposing group, or some different group, or, you know, an opposing view that also comes and asks for action, or pushes, you know, their point of view. And the job, the importance of the city council finding a consensus in that, in the community, the same way that we find a consensus with each other. So, trying to figure out, you know, how to do that better. When I look back at, you know, real like hot button issues, and you guys know them, you know, there's been a few of them, and a few of them really, you know, really crossed political ideology lines, party lines, you know, trees, like trees in Zellia Park, that went across the board. Another thing that's tough for me to communicate with the public is that I've been the one, before I was on council, I kind of started, first city meeting I was ever at was a planning commission meeting, and they were talking about development restrictions and development standards in the downtown core area. And, you know, our shop was downtown, and so this was a, this directly affected me and a lot of businesses, and it's really what kind of got me involved in city politics. And at the time, you know, what I was hearing was big brothers come to tell me what to do with what's mine, and I don't like that. And so it wasn't tough for me to get on the phone and find like-minded individuals to come with me and to support, you know, my cause or our cause. It wasn't tough to do. You know, it's fairly easy to get people riled up when that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to get people riled up, passionate about it, and we all show up at this meeting. And so, boom, now there's 20-30 people with me, and this is what we want. And of course, you know, at the time, I mean, I stated numerous times that me and the people with me sharing my opinion, we are the community. You know, we represent the majority around here. Obviously, you know, I didn't have a clue of if that was truly majority of the community. It was the majority of the people in the room, in the chambers. So, you know, there has been issues like that where I've seen, you know, 40, 50 people inside of council chambers, all kind of on the same page, singing the same tune, wanting something done, looking at the city council and saying and believing that they were representing the community as a whole, and they are the majority. And after all, in this room, everyone in this room agrees with me, these 50 people, and so we're representing the community. And what's tough about that on my end, you know, sitting up there, is I know there's a lot in this community, and I know, you know, I know that 40 or 50 people, or even if it was 150 people, I know that that doesn't necessarily represent the entire community. And it's much harder. People don't get riled, and they don't get passionate about encouraging something to happen, right? I mean, that's pretty normal. You know, if you read a council agenda, or you thought we were going to make a decision a certain way, and you agreed with that decision, people usually don't show up and say and pat us on the back and say, "Oh, this is a good choice. You guys, you know, I just want to be here and encourage you to do that." So on city council, you know, usually I hear from opposition to, you know, the usually it's like the staff recommendation, or, you know, some kind of a pathway set by city council. And so that's a tough thing. It's been a tough thing for me. And to really know, even in a small community, it's actually pretty difficult to know, to truly know what the majority of a community wants. That's a tough one. That really is. That's just a one decision at a time, one day at a time thing. I know that I have to, like I mentioned yesterday, maybe it comes supernaturally to some people. It doesn't come natural to me, and I have to actively try to be inclusive and to unify. It's easy for me to do that with the council, you know, because I've been doing it for a while, and I know pretty much everyone there. Most of us have been there for a while, and so that comes natural, you know, finding consensus in a council, finding consensus in a community. You know, I hope that if I work on that actively enough, that sooner or later it'll just come naturally, and that's where my mind will be. But that's just, you know, that's a character flaw, or, you know, personal shortcoming, or you know, whatever it might be. You know, the issue, there's a lot of good parts of that I don't want to lose, but I want to be inclusive and unifying. Yeah, it's weird. And then when I was looking through Holly Byers' comments, the topic of what is allowed to be said at a council meeting inside council chambers, you know, and I'm, you know, we know exactly what we're talking about, and who, you know, I get it. I know exactly what you're talking about, and I was, you know, there were a number of people that pinned my ear about that. That's a tough one though too, because the easiest thing, the first thing that comes to mind is how easy it is to suppress freedom of speech, and how easy it is to get that pointed out and to get challenged on it. Freedom of speech. We all want freedom of speech until someone else is saying something that we don't agree with, you know, or that we believe is wrong or false or slanderous, or, you know, we want freedom of speech, but we recognize in other people when they shouldn't speak, you know, and that's tough. In my time as council, on the council, and the mayors that I, you know, kind of sat under or whatever, because a lot of that's left up to the mayor. Our code is pretty loose on chairing the meeting and all that. So, how I learned and what I saw that I thought worked well, kind of the old Larry Anderson Stern hand thing, you know, keeping things real tight and orderly. I really kind of dug that. And going into it in my mind, that's where I was wanting to go, you know. But again, it's one of those things. It's tough to really know the job until you have the job. So I figured out pretty quick and doing research and things that, you know, I'd have a hard time even suppressing clapping. And I know, you know, there's a lot of you that have been in meetings where that I was chairing, and I've asked, you know, to hold applause, and I've asked people to stop clapping. But that's a, you know, that's a tough one. I could easily be challenged on that. So basically, you know, basically what it is doing something that impedes the business at hand, you know. So clapping can do that, and it's happened. You know, I'm calling speakers, and someone gets down, and I'm reading off the next name, and it can't be heard just because of an applause in the room. So it's tough. And then, but specifically about someone saying something that you don't believe to be true, that you believe to be slanderous, and basically just untrue. They don't know what they're talking about. The issue with that is if I did that, because, you know, in reality, at the end of the day, when all the talking is done, I'm the one that has the gavel, and I'm the one that has to decide that, you know. I mean, and that's hard. I can tell you though that there's been plenty of times when people have come up to speak that didn't know what they were talking about, that used harsh language, that, you know, pointed things out in people or in policies or, you know, motives. It's an easy when you start questioning motives of people, that's an easy one to get wrong, because, you know, it's tough. We can't see each other's hearts all the time. So, I mean, I've sat through plenty more than the situation that Holly, I think you're talking about. You know, I'm pretty sure that I know exactly what you're talking about. So, like I've said to the other people that have brought that up to me, you know, like, I'm sure there would be an applause if that person was gaveled down, but at the next meeting or at the previous meeting, would you have taken that gavel, you know, yourself just as easy? And if you know, of course you wouldn't, of course I wouldn't, because if, you know, what I'm saying I believe to be true. So it's hard, you know, and it's incredibly hard to sit there and listen to false, either outright, you know, outright lies or just dishonesty, or ignorance, or, you know, whatever it is that someone is saying, if it doesn't represent the truth and reality, it's really hard to sit there and listen to that. And I've done it plenty, you know, I have. As a public official, as an elected, you know, we have to suck it up, right? I mean, you can stand up and rail on the mayor quite a bit before I would gavel down. You know, it can get pretty harsh and abusive language before I would gavel down if someone's railing on me, because, you know, in some ways we ask for it, right? Running for office. But, you know, it really is the same, though. Yeah, you know, if you really think about it, it really is the same whether you're talking. Whether you're giving public comments about an elected official that you're looking at, or you're giving comments about some other group in the community and you're railing against them. The one, you know, what I've settled on with that, you know, currently at least, is that the line gets crossed when someone is called out by name, The gavel should come down quick, especially if it's a member of the public is called out by name and railed against during public comments, and you know it's a member of the public who didn't sign up for it, that maybe likely isn't even in the room to hear it, you know, and we have someone standing up saying, you know, Bob so-and-so or Jim so-and-so did this and did that. It has happened before that, you know, that I didn't gavel down right away. You know, I'm sure you can understand that it's not the easiest thing to do. And a lot of times, you know, I hear from the same member of the public numerous times, right? And so I see the name on the comment form and I'm thinking, oh boy, you know, what's going to be said this time? And so they start talking, and on the one hand, I want to listen, and I really do want to take them at face value, not hold against what's been said in the past, you know, things they've said in the past. I don't want them to approach me or approach the council and have us, you know, have me holding this thing against them that they've said in the past. But obviously I'd be stupid if I didn't, you know, remember, like, oh, here's so-and-so, you know, boy, let's see what they say tonight. So anyway, so I'm sitting there trying to listen and, you know, just, and waiting for the line to be crossed, trying to get through with, I don't know, just trying to get through the best way possible. That's you. That's oftentimes what I'm left with. And as far as, you know, how I chair meetings and going into it, how I thought I wanted to chair a meeting, you know, and then doing it for a while, usually I kind of respond in kind, meaning, you know, if it's a pretty chill evening and everyone in the room is pretty chill and no one's raising their voice, there's not a lot of emotion in the room, you know, I can respond in kind. I mean, people are allowed to maybe speak twice. A member of the public is allowed to speak from their seat, you know, a lot of things like that that could be gaveled down and stopped another time, you know. So, and most of you that are part of this subject can think of, you know, city meetings that you've been at where things are, you know, when you care about something, you're passionate about it, and when you're passionate about something, emotions come out and you know, volumes go up and there's just a lot of drama in the room. And so that's when I respond by trying to keep order, you know, trying to. It's a tough thing, you know. It was probably when I was thinking about being mayor, it was a part of being mayor that really intrigued me and that I kind of looked forward to, and I desired that aspect of being mayor, chairing a meeting. Because I thought I'd be pretty good at it, you know. It's interesting once you have the job, you know, when it's your choice to make, and it's not an easy decision for you to make because it's really someone else's decision, you know, and you're not sideline. Quarterbacking type of deal, and it's actually you, and you're the one gaveling. It's tough, you know, guys. I've tried, I've succeeded, and I've failed. You know, it's a tough one. It really is. It's a tough one. And then Candace, another thing you mentioned about, I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. Oh, you said, I often find that if I can get past the personality, the message has value. And when I boil things down, when I look at situations, things that have come up in the city, things that haven't worked out well, it oftentimes usually comes down to personality and a personality conflict. And it's tough when it's tough because like things build on each other, right? So my interaction with you yesterday is the premise for my interaction with you today. And so, you know, it's amazing what little it takes to rub me wrong and what little it takes to possibly rub you wrong. And so, boom, we had a little chat yesterday. I was rubbed wrong. And now we're getting together today, and that's the premise of how it's starting. And how I interpret your communication to me, part of how I'm interpreting that is the knowledge and the history that I have, the foundation that I have with you from yesterday or the day before or whatever. And so it's, you know, it's pretty crazy. It's something that I only really, that I only understood and realized after being mayor and after being in the position of me meeting someone for the first time, but they know all about me, you know. There's not too many things you do, jobs that you can have where, you know, right out of the gate, someone has a strong opinion about you simply because of your job. You know, cops, lawyers, politicians, you know, I don't know, used car salesmen. But before I even open my mouth, just the fact that I'm the mayor, there's already that right there, and that's where I start. And oftentimes the person that I'm meeting, you know, doesn't only know that I'm mayor, but kind of, you know, knows something I said or knows about me, and it's often wrong, you know. I mean, it is, and I'm sure that you can have the same. You can point out the same circumstances in your own life, in the same situation, where you're taken wrong, or you start chatting with somebody, and it becomes evident that they think something different than what reality is, or what you believe reality is, and it's like, wait a minute, no, we need to start back over. I never said that, or you know, this is really what I was talking about, to try to kind of even that playing field, to meet each other as two people, kind of, you know, in grace and starting from kind of a net zero and moving on. It's pretty tough. It's pretty tough to do. It's tough for me to do with people, and I know it's tough for you to do with people too. I'm saying you. I'm not talking about anyone specifically. Just you know. I don't know, you, second person, you. So that's an interesting thing, you know. It really is. And I've been, before Holly Beyer, before what you're talking about ever happened, I mean, I got that with a lot of people, you know. I can't believe you allowed this. I can't believe you allowed that. When, you know, I had one from somebody that I've been glad to see on here watching me, you know, that, you know, Jake, you let so-and-so do this and don't do anything about it. And it's like, well, man, I mean, if I really had that control over people that come in City Hall, and if I really had that power, that'd be crazy. And you wouldn't want me to, because, you know, today Jake, I want you to gavel down that person, but tomorrow it's that person telling me, Jake, I want you to gavel down them, you know. It's tough. It's crazy. It's crazy. And anyone that's been in that position, I would hope would agree with me. I know everyone that I've met and known that has truly been in that position. A lot of people view that they've been in that position because of another some other public service that they've been in, or basically a position that they held to communicate with the public, you know, and so they know how it is, and so it's okay to tell me, you know, how it is and how I should do it. But it's incredibly, there's only that situation only is only that situation. So you only know if you have been sitting on a board that is serious and formal, and you're the one chairing a meeting, and you're dealing with a large group of people with differing and incredibly strong opinions, trying to keep anybody from, you know, totally like flipping out, or just trying to keep order, you know. It's tough, but I'm not whining, you know. At the end of the day, I asked for it, right? And Holly Beyer, don't think I didn't see that comment about crushing on my boy. So he's 14, but I know it's easy. It's easy to do guitar and singing. It's easy. It's pretty easy to do. Man, I want to keep beating the COVID drum, but I just, you know, repeat everything over and over again, and I know that that's not. That would get old. That would get old listening to. But I totally get the frustration of people that when they do come out, they see others that just don't seem to care at all, and don't seem to grasp that they could seriously harm a lot of people in this community by doing stupid stuff. You know, by not taking the virus seriously and not following that, you know, the protocol. So, Candace, I'm with you. I mean, I don't wear a mask when I'm by myself or when I'm outside, or with my, you know, with my immediate family. I don't wear a mask. But if I go someplace and there's people around, even if I'm, you know, I mean, personally, I'm 36 years old. I'm not deathly afraid of getting COVID, but one, it's the respect for my community and the people that are here that are truly at risk. I don't want to give it to them. So I throw a mask on just to keep my spit in my mouth. And that's the main reason. But if nothing else, guys, there's a lot of frightened people still. People that are at risk and they're frightened. And it's a worthy cause to, if nothing else, just show some solidarity with those folks and buck up and throw a mask on your face when you go out into the store. It's, you know, that alone, I would, you know, I care enough about this community and the people in this community that I would do that just for, quote, the looks of it. And I hope that the rest of us can get in that mindset, you know. But again, I struggle with it myself. I ran into a gas station in Crescent City today without a mask on. You know, I even had it in my, I had it in my jacket pocket, but I ran in, got, did my thing, and I left. And as I'm walking out, I was like, crap, forgot my mask. So, you know, it happens, and we need to continue to be gracious with each other. Because there are a lot, I get that there's a lot of people that are afraid and fearful about COVID. There's a lot of us too, though, that are afraid and fearful of what's going to happen with everything else. You know, how I'm going to support my family? How am I going to keep my kids from killing each other and from driving my wife nuts? And, you know, there's a lot of stress going around, and there's a lot of different things to worry about, and we're not all worried about the same thing. So, you know, you see a young guy run around the store without a mask on, you know, I would hope that it's not just because they want to just show everyone they're not a sheep. And that's the only one that really gets me, is, you know, I'm going to show everyone how strong I am and that I'm not a sheep and I'm not a follower, and I'm going to just hold my head high and show everyone that I don't think that there's anything wrong, you know. That's the one that gets me. If you don't have a good, if you don't have a good solid reason to not do something, like the glove thing, guys, I'm struggling with that one because I see plenty of stuff and there seems to be logic in it about wearing gloves not necessarily being the best thing. So I don't know. I'm still chewing on that one. Currently, I just, you know, I mask up and wash and sanitize, you know, but I don't wear gloves all the time. So I'm not sure how many of you are doing that, but anyway, it's 7:15 already, and so I was trying to kind of figure these out to be about 45 minutes. Sal, do you have another song you want to play?
Yeah.
Really? Sweet, guys. I'll hear one more. Machismo is alive and well, Lance Badger. Yes, it is. You know, that's and obviously it's not only young men, but being one myself, that's where my mind usually goes, is that it's definitely a common disease of a young man is that. And you know, I've had my seniors, you know, tongue in cheek, throw out the, well, you need to get out and conquer the world when you still know everything, you know. And so I get that, and that's definitely a trap that a lot of us, not only young people, but I definitely see it in plenty of people in my demographic, young men, you know. That's a tough thing to shuck off trying to be Captain Big Nuts. So, all right, I'll let you guys, old men too. Old men too, and you know, and Holly, there's plenty of women that are that same, you know, same way. You know, we can all see it. We all know people, black, white, male, female, old, young, whatever it is. We know plenty of people that just, they've got it all. They've just got it all figured out, you know. And all you need to do is ask them, and they'll tell you, man, they've got it all. Pat answer just lined out, you know. They got it all figured out. But anyway, I'll let Silas play and wrap us up. Sorry, I was reading the last comment. All right, here's Silas.
So, what I'm going to do this time is I'm going to play Rock, Salt, and Nails by Tyler Childers. I'm pretty sure I might have played this one before once, but I'm gonna play it again.
Hey, who was it that commented? Someone commented the other day when Sas was playing about his sweet spot being tenor, and that wasn't the first time that we've heard that. So
I've heard that. I heard that all the time.
Yeah. So tenor. Go ahead.
Time can erase. And
and the letters you wrote me, they were written in shame. And I know that it's your conscience still echoes my name. If ladies were blackbirds, if ladies were thrushes, then I'd lie there for hours in the chilly cold marshes. And if the women were squirrels, with my bushy tail, then I'd load up my shotgun with rock salt nails. By the banks of the river, where the willows hang down, wild birds that warble in a low morning sound. Down by the hollow where the waters run cold, that was where I first listened to lies that you told.
Dude, if you're gonna keep, we gotta increase your song repertoire.
Yeah, and for Schlitzel.
Okay, guys, awesome. Mask up, man. Mask up. Don't get complacent. You know, don't get complacent. Again, this isn't one of those. This isn't exactly like the proof is in the pudding thing, because it's tough to gauge results of something, right? And we've done well. Our numbers are good. You know, our state is doing better than most others, but just, we can't let complacency change it. It'll be too late. You know, if all of a sudden all it takes is you know, one person with COVID, and you know, you could have a dozen cases like that. So it's one of those things. We don't want to figure it out too late. That's the thing. We don't want to figure it out too late. So, all right, guys, I'll see you tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Have a good night.